It was a little weak. Let me try one more time. Good morning. Just checking, just checking. I don't want you nodding off right at the beginning. Well, it's been a while since I've been behind the pulpit. I tend to be over at Agana Heights these days for preaching, but glad to be here this morning in front of a friendly group. Before we go to the scripture, which will be from Matthew, let's pray, ask God to bless our time this morning. Father, we are glad to be in this place. Glad that your Holy Spirit is among us to help us to sort out your words, that you'll speak clearly to us, give us the charge and the challenge that we need to understand your message and to live it out day to day. We just pray that this time in the Word will be encouraging and profitable, and Lord, that you'll help us all to learn from it. I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We go right to the scripture, one of Jesus' best-known parables. Always a little dangerous to teach on a well-known parable to see if something can be said that hasn't already been said, but we'll see if that will happen. It's the parable of the sower. This is in all three of the, what we call the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we'll focus mostly on Matthew's account. Matthew 13, first verses 1 to 9, and then we'll jump to Jesus' explanation of the parable. It's one of the few where he gives a pretty full explanation, and we'll deal with that middle section, 10 to 17, a little bit later. But for the reading, we'll do 1 through 9, and then 18 to 23. The reading of God's Word from Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And then moving down to verse 18, Jesus speaking, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Reading of God's word. Let me just set the scene and just a little bit of background, because we are in the middle of the gospel here, and this is a very well-known parable. Even people who aren't really Christians kind of know the gist of this particular parable of the seed and the sower and the soils. It's in a gospel of focus on kingship. Matthew's main thrust is Jesus as king. And a good portion of the gospel explains what that means, that Jesus is king, and here's what living in this kingdom is supposed to look like. Here's what being a subject of this kingship is supposed to look like. So that's a good chunk of what Matthew's thrust is all about. And what we hear from Jesus a lot is the kingdom of God is like. We hear that quite a bit from Jesus in Matthew. And so this parable is in that framework. It's kind of in the middle of a long section of Matthew where There's a lot of dealing about what disciples of this kingship, followers of this king, look like and act like. The characters are Jesus. There's a crowd that he's talking to. He gets out into a boat, so there's a little better acoustics, and he can speak louder and have a good acoustical bounce off that water, and everybody will be able to hear him. And also the disciples are there, not just the general crowd, but the disciples are also there. And also three, what I would call three main characters, and you can put that first one up, David. Three main characters, if you will, in the story. There's the farmer or the sower, there's the seed, and there's the soil. So if we can call those characters. And then there's the types of soil. There's a soil that shows or falls along the path where the birds snatch it up. There's the rocky ground where there's just very little soil. It's mostly rocks, not too much soil at all. And then the thorns choke. The plant actually is able to come up a little bit, but the thorns choke it out. And then finally, the soil that is good soil and provides a very high yield. And the yield that Jesus mentions would have made people's ears perk up a little bit, because they were used to maybe 10 to 20-fold, 30-fold, really good crop. But to hear 60 and 100, that would kind of make them sit up and take notice. Wow, that is really a bumper crop. So he kind of has their attention just in the amount of produce that comes out of this particular good soil. And then in one of the rare situations, Jesus actually explains the parable. The disciples first ask, why do you speak in parables? And then Jesus talks a little bit about his thought behind why he's going to speak in parables. And then he goes on to tell the disciples, this is just a description now to the disciples, not the whole crowd. The parable was given to the crowd. The explanation now is to the disciples. And so in the explanation of this parable by Jesus, he says that the seed is the word, the soil is people or their hearts and minds, if you will. And then the farmer or the sower could be Jesus, could be the disciples, could be us, someone that's actually casting out the word or sharing the word. And then the different type of soils, he also explains that. The first on the path, he says there's no understanding. And this is where I come up on this word that I think is really key in Matthew's description of this particular parable. This isn't so much of an emphasis in Mark and Luke, but I think it is in Matthew, and I think there's a reason for it. Jesus says that in this first soil, that the person who does not understand the message of the kingdom is not going to produce. So that's at the very beginning, and then he brings up understanding again right at the end of his explanation. But in that first soil, there's no understanding, so nothing really happens with that seed that is cast along the path. The place where there's very little soil or mostly rocks, he says there's no root. The plant actually starts, but there's no root. So there's no progress. It just isn't going to go anywhere in its particular life, if you will, because there's no root. And then the third, where the thorns choke it out, there's no priorities. The other one, there's no root. This time, there's no priorities. When there's challenges, when there's difficulties in the world, then this particular soil or person just kind of gives it up. It's not worth it. It's just too much hassle. I'm just letting it go. That's more of the worldly person, if you will. The world is just too important to that person to let it go. And then we come back again to that word understanding. The seed, in verse 23, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Or other translations say the message of the kingdom. That's another way to translate that. And he says that in verse 18. He describes it as the message about the kingdom. And then it comes back in 23 when he's talking about the producing soil, that it's the person who understands the word or understands the message. So the key to soil that produces, understand the message. I've looked at this parable many times like you have, and the more that I read it, that's what this time really jumped out, was this thing about understanding that the seed is the same, the soils are different, and the key in the production, having something actually be produced out of the soil, is understanding the message. So that begs the question, first of all, what is the message? The Greek word is logos or word, so either message or word, it can be translated either way. So either message of the kingdom or the word of the kingdom would certainly work in how to describe it in English. As I mentioned earlier, Matthew's emphasis is on Jesus as king, so he is ruling. The king has come, and he wants people to understand what the kingdom is to be like. Remember in Matthew 6 where the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, is mentioned? Part of the prayer says, your kingdom come, your will be done. What's the rest? On earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom has come. The king has arrived in Jesus. At this point in time, his mission isn't complete, but he's on the earth. The king has arrived. And so part of that prayer earlier in Matthew, earlier than this particular story, is about the kingdom coming, the kingdom developing, the kingdom being what it is supposed to be, that it arrive on earth as it is in heaven. What is the message? That's part of it. And if you go back earlier in Matthew, it's full of what is the message of the kingdom that we're supposed to understand. Especially you look at something like the Beatitudes, chapters 5, 6, and 7. The message of the kingdom. Jesus is really kind of pounding on that, that this is a message that is going to be different. Blessed are the poor in spirit, really. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. And a lot of times when we hear the word meek, we think weak. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. This is a crazy king. This is a crazy kingdom. These are different kinds of rules. You're the salt of the earth. You're not supposed to lose your saltiness. You're the light of the world. And then more challenges in this kingdom. You're not supposed to murder. That is clear. But Jesus says, if you call somebody a fool, you're in trouble. If you're angry at your brother or sister, you're in trouble, not just murder. Adultery, yes, adultery is wrong. But if you lust in your heart, that is just as bad in Jesus' kingdom. So the message of the kingdom is not an easy one. Love your enemies. What? The message of the kingdom is not an easy one. But the command, and in this parable again, it's about sharing the gospel, yes. First and foremost, share the gospel, scatter the seed, spread the seed. But what we tend to do in a lot of churches is we, quote-unquote, get them saved and then say, God bless you, go have a wonderful Christian life. Brother Caleb was just talking about a young man that they are discipling, and there's a key word. First and foremost, they have to come to know Jesus as Savior. But understanding the message of the kingdom is more than just salvation. So sowers, as we're scattering the seed, yes, we want that plant to come up. We want that person to be saved. We want that good soil as we share. We want the message to land in a place where it is received well. And there's this tremendous yield. But does that kind of yield come from a brand spanking new Christian? Not really. New Christians are really good at sharing. They're very excited about their new faith, and they're very good about sharing. But there's no way they can be mature yet. They're brand new baby Christians. So a new Christian can't have 30, 60, 100 fold yield. And remember, Jesus is explaining this parable to the disciples. The word fell on good soil with the disciples, at least 11 out of the 12 anyway. There was one that turned out not to be good soil. But think about the fact that we're sitting here after a couple thousand years of seed being scattered, first by the disciples and then forward, and here we are. Here we are today. Tremendous, tremendous yield, but not by brand new baby Christians, but by people that began to understand the message. They went through the process of being discipled, of learning more, and that's where we come back to this word understand. Understanding the message of the kingdom. So what does it mean to understand? And I came up with a little definition in the context of Matthew and of this parable that I hope is helpful. Understanding means to comprehend well enough to do and to teach. Let me just explain a little example. In my other life, I was involved in radio for a long, long time. First of all, just a small secular station, and then Christian radio for a while. So I understand about being a DJ, quote unquote. I understand about doing the news. I understand about marketing. I understand about promotions. I comprehend that well enough to do it, and I can also teach it. I can also teach it to somebody else. Leilani, who is the director of KTWG, I trained her. I taught her to kind of take over as the manager of the station because I understood enough about being on the air and about programming. However, I don't understand Mike's job. I don't understand Doug's job. I know a little bit. I know a little bit about computers to be dangerous enough to get myself in trouble and go, Doug! But the transmitter side, the IT side, I'm kind of clueless. Even though I comprehend part of radio, there's no way I could go down to Maritzo and have Mike say, okay, transmitter 3 is not working, get to work. Yeah, right. No, not the hammer, Jeff. There's no way I could do it. There's no way I could teach it because I don't understand any of that. But I do understand other parts of radio well enough to do and to teach. The disciples who Jesus is explaining this parable to, it was absolutely critical that they understand the message of the kingdom. They had to comprehend it well enough to do it and also to teach it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is inspired by God or God-breathed, and it's for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So the disciples needed to understand the message well enough for that to kick in, if you will. The teaching, the reproof, the correction, the training in righteousness. The disciples were the ones who were going to carry on with the kingdom message after Jesus physically left. And they would be helped by one very important person of the Trinity, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, Jesus explains a bit about this learning process, this discipleship process, understanding, when he says, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Understanding the message will happen with the help of the Holy Spirit. Not just for the disciples, it continues to happen that way for us. So how do we get to a level of real understanding? I wish it happened by osmosis, don't you? Don't you wish you could go to sleep and do this? Wake up in the morning and it's all memorized. It's all in my head. Unfortunately, it does not work that way. There is no magic bullet in understanding the message of the kingdom. We do this. We come on Sundays for worship together and hopefully to hear good teaching about the Word, Sunday school, our cell groups where the Word is taught and there's good fellowship. And you absolutely have to have that personal time in Scripture. I have a few friends who their first defense is, I'm not a reader. There are other ways to do that. Denise mentioned for their mom getting the audio of the Scriptures. There's other ways to kind of work around if you're not a good reader. But even if you're not a good reader, still not the best of excuses if you're going to understand the message of the kingdom. A little sweat equity sometimes is required. I had one of the guys at prison say to me once, "Wow, Brother Jeff, I wish I could remember connecting Scriptures the way that you do." And I said, "Well, for one thing, it's not off the top of my head. For another, I spend time studying." I could see his just this downcast, "Oh, you mean it takes work?" There has to be some time put in to get to a level of understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 kind of hits on this thing of just how important, besides our putting in effort, the work of the Holy Spirit also helps. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 and 12. "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." So when you are spending that time in the Word by yourself or in a small group, prayer helps connect you with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, with the work that He can do in opening it up, in helping you memorize, in helping you recall and be able to connect one thing to another, Old Testament to New, and back and forth. You know, Denise mentioned that her mom said, "I try to read it, I can't understand it." That's part of the reason. The Lord has to kind of open the heart and open our spiritual eyes for us to be able to read and then start to understand. So the Holy Spirit does play a huge role in that. But sometimes just the exposure to someone that you're sharing with, someone that you've shared the gospel with, make sure they're around other Christians. Make sure they're around Bible reading. Expose, 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 and give the Spirit the opportunity to work on them. So that's about the understanding. But what about not understanding? What about those that don't understand? And that's what Jesus deals with in verses 10 to 17. I'll just back up to those if I can. "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' He replied, 'Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand.'" He's quoting from Isaiah here. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them.'" And then he speaks to the disciples again, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." I think this is a direct shot at the Pharisees and the scribes, those who were the religious leaders who claimed that they understood. They claimed above everybody else, especially the common folk, that they understood the message of the kingdom. They said over and over that they had no problem understanding the message of the kingdom. But Jesus says, "The truth is, gentlemen, you are so far from understanding that you are deaf and you are blind." It's basically what he's saying. And also for sort of the ordinary, regular folks too, speaking in parables, if they are curious enough, if the Lord's beginning to get after them, I think they would come too and say to Jesus, could you say more about this? I think it's part of helping generate that interest and that curiosity in just the regular folks too. But I think a big part of this is a pretty direct shot at the religious leaders, those who claimed they were in full understanding of the message. And they were the ones to lead the people to other understanding. But in another place, Jesus calls this the blind leading the blind. Ears to hear, eyes to see. Religious leaders don't have it. But Jesus wants the disciples and us to have full hearing and 20/20, or even better, eyesight, if you will, spiritual eyesight. So that's part of what's going on, is there's understanding, but there's also this veil over some eyes, this inability to understand, because God has not opened the heart, or there's a development of a hard heart, of rocky ground, of soil that gets choked easily, of birds coming, the evil one coming, just to snatch it away even before anything happens. And that's the other aspect of this casting of the seed, and Caleb and Rose know this well, doing this with the students. You just have to keep getting the seed out there. You're going to have lots of reactions of different kinds. And notice that 3 out of the 4 soils are lousy. There's nothing that's produced in 3 out of the 4 soils. So don't be easily discouraged if you don't see a lot of response. Understand that there's going to be a lot of unproductive ground. But when you do get one, like this young man that Caleb brought up, when you do get one, be all over him like a cheap suit from Kmart. You want to disciple him. You don't want to just set him aside and say, God bless you, brother. Do well on your own. No, 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 no. Do your best to get them into a church family, whether it's ours or another one. If they're a little spooked by church, get them into the cell group, a smaller group where it's not quite as intimidating. But get them into some kind of fellowship. Help them understand how to read the Bible, maybe to start with a particular gospel. Focus on something like the Psalms. Read Genesis so you know how the whole thing began. Give them an idea how, don't just toss a Bible their way. Say, here, read this thing. It'll help. Okay. With some people, that has worked out okay. I've heard testimonies of people that just were handed a Bible and came to faith and became strong Christians who understood the message. But more often than not, giving a bit of direction is a very helpful thing. So some understand, some don't understand. But those that do, those that come to an understanding of the message, there's a real possibility of this tremendous harvest. Some people, as one individual Christian, will have just unbelievable productivity. Others, it might be somebody that you share with. Maybe you're not all that productive, but you share with one person, they come to faith, and then that person takes off. So it may not be you directly that has maybe the hundredfold, but you may share with somebody who ends up being a hundredfold type Christian. You don't know, so just keep casting the seed. Make sure you're sharing the message. Well, what's the most basic message of the kingdom? If you're sitting here and you're just not, as we say, understanding, you're not coming to a level of understanding because you're kind of maybe outside the fence this morning. Well, one of Matthew's most basic gospel messages is all the way back in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 21, when the angel comes to Joseph, Mary is pregnant by a miracle of God. Joseph has found out about it. He's been struggling, but now he's coming around. And an angel says to him, you are to give him, the baby, the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. There's perhaps the most basic message of the kingdom. That's the kernel. That's the starting point. And of course, a message like John 3:16, that God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him not perish, but then have that gift of eternal life. That's the key, the kernel, the core of that message of the kingdom. Give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So if you haven't understood that most basic of messages, we bring that to you this morning. And now, as Scripture says, unfortunately, you are without excuse because you've heard it at least once. So if you don't understand the message, if you don't know the Savior, think about it. Spend some time mulling that over. Allow God, maybe perhaps even this morning, to speak to you, to give you that understanding. Listen to this from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. I think we'll bring that up. Proverbs 2, 3 to 5, the importance of understanding. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I really like that. Search for it as for silver or for gold. You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I just want to share with you just a couple of stories of people that I think understand the message. One is a friend of mine. His name is Glenn. He's in his mid-60s, and just in the last number of months, he and his wife sold their home in New Mexico, sold a lot of their possessions, and moved to Thailand in his mid-60s. He's not in poor health, but he's not in the greatest of health either. And he's going to teach Hebrew and Greek to Bible students in Thailand and others that under great danger come from long places, many distance, many miles, to be in these small sort of hidden schools. So he and his wife understand the message of the kingdom. And even at a little bit advanced age, he's willing to continue to disciple, to help others to understand the message. I was listening to an interview just a few days ago of a man who said he was a Christian, who volunteered with Doctors Without Borders to go to one of the African countries, I don't remember which, of the three that's hit hardest by Ebola. You know what he went to do, to volunteer to do? To handle dead bodies. No way. No way. For me, anyway, that was my reaction when I heard that. And this man was really something. They interviewed him at length. And he said when he got home, he said, it was a great privilege to be involved in that. That's understanding the message of the kingdom, people. And one last one. I read this recently in a Voice of the Martyrs newsletter. A Nigerian pastor named Habila, he was shot by Muslim extremists. He was left for dead. The Lord miraculously spared him, actually even provided some miraculous healing from the gunshot wound. And he was telling people he wanted to find the people that shot him. And they asked him why. And he said, so I can forgive them. He said, we must show love to the people that hate us. He was shot by these men. We must show love to the people that hate us. And he went on to say, Jesus commands us to love our enemies. That's right out of Matthew 5 through 7, folks. He understands the message of the kingdom. And that's why it's a wonderful thing to be casting the seed, because you never know which person you're sharing with might be someone that ends up with faith like Brother Habila or this man that dealt with the corpses in Africa or my friend Glenn. When you're sharing and when it falls on good soil, there might just be somebody like that. Maybe you are somebody like that. But we need to get people to understand the message of a kingdom, of the kingdom, comprehend well enough to do? Are you doing it? Am I doing it? Living it out, as James says, to make sure our works are right there with our faith. Do you comprehend well enough to do it? And then teach it. We have a lot of teachers in this room. And can you teach teachers if you don't comprehend what you're teaching? If you don't understand it, you probably can't teach it. So let's make sure we understand the message well enough to then teach it, to help other people to grow, to be better, to do better in God's kingdom. I think I will bring up that last one, David. This is from a group of theologians called Casting Crowns. It's a singing group. And if you would indulge me, I'd like us just to all to read this in unison. And instead of to know you, think understanding, we'll say to know you, but think understanding when you read it. Let's read it together, if you would. To know you is to never worry for my life. To know you is to never give in to compromise. To know you is to want to tell the world about you. To know you is to hear your voice when you are calling. To know you is to catch my brother when he's falling. To know you is to feel the pain of the brokenhearted. To know you is to ache for more than ordinary. To know you is to look beyond the temporary. To know you is believing that you'll be enough. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that you are the King and that you have brought in a kingdom. This parable, when it was shared by Jesus, was on the other side of the cross and the tomb. But here we are on the plus side. The cross has happened. The tomb is empty. And Lord, you charge us now in this place as the Body at Faith Church to be the farmer, to be the sower, cast the seed, and when it does hit good soil, to make sure that there is understanding, that as they come to faith, wonderful, we praise you for that, but then to be helping them to understand fully the message of the kingdom so they too can do the same. And Lord, for anyone who's here this morning who doesn't understand, doesn't know you as Savior, doesn't know you as King, as not one of the servants of this kingdom, this kingship, that they would not leave this place without asking somebody about how to understand, that you would dig into their heart in a way that they have a sense of conviction and that they want to seek out someone who does understand the message. Father, help us all to live out this message, to comprehend well enough to do and to teach and to help your kingdom to flourish against many things that are happening that want to come against that message now. Help us to stand strong as we follow the one true King. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.